We begin the current daf and start this beya daf chavtal. Begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the discussion of the Mishnah, which began this perik in sudden, the third perik in Masechtas Beya. Now, the Mishnah made a differentiation between capturing fish on Yom Tov and capturing wild animals and birds. Although fish are not permitted, even though they're in their beivarin, in their enclosed areas, in their ponds, that's because they can get away and it's not really considered that they were captured. So therefore, if one were to do that on Yom Tov, which could have been done from before Yom Tov, that would be a violation of the Malach of Tzedah, which is not permitted, because although Oichel Nefesh is permitted, it's only for something that could not have been done from before Yom Tov. That's in contrast to the Chayis and Oifis, where once they're in their beivarin, in their enclosed areas, then they're already considered captured, they're already trapped, and hence to take them on Yom Tov would be permitted, and one can also give them their foods that, since they're now trapped in your area, it's your obligation to go ahead and feed them. Now, on that, the Gemara asks a contradiction. But we learned in the Braisa that says, Bivarin shal chayi b'shal eifos, regarding the enclosed areas, where the wild animals are and where the birds are, where the person has them in these enclosed areas, the Braisa says, Ein sadim hem b'yom tov. One cannot go ahead and trap them on Yom Tov. Ve'ein noislav nemazins, and therefore one cannot go ahead and give them their food. It's as if that they're not captured. And therefore, if one were to go to do that on Yom Tov, one would be violating the Issa of Tzedah. So that the Gemara says, it's a double contradiction. Kasha chaya chaya, kasha oifas oifas. They're both contradictory. Now, each one is a separate category. We have one with the wild animals, which our Mishnah said, you could go take him from their bivarin, from their enclosed areas on Yom Tov, whereas the Braisa says that you cannot. Same thing regarding Eifes. Our Mishnah said you could go take them, and the Braisa says you cannot. So the Gemara, the reason why it split them up is because the Gemara will say that one of them is not such a contradiction, and that is Bishle Mechaya Chay Lekasha. We could understand regarding the category of wild animals that it wouldn't be a contradiction, our Mishnah and the Braisa, because actually it's a Machlokes. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, we could say that the braisa that says one cannot go ahead and take them from the bivarin on Yom Tov is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, our Mishnah was going like the Rabbanan. Did not like we learned the Mishnah Masechta the Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Hatzad Tzipur. If someone traps a bird from the outside until he brings it in Lemigdal into a tower, into a closet, he puts it into an enclosed area, or Vitzvila Bais, or he goes ahead and he takes a deer and again he pushes it and he catches it until he gets it into a house on Shabbos. So that Rabbi Yehuda says, Chai, if he's liable for the Isser, the Av Malacha of Tzedah of trapping, and that is once he gets a bird into a tower, into a closet type of thing, and he closes it in front of it, so now it's stuck, it's where it is. He has completed the Malacha of trapping. So too, when you get a deer into a house and you close the door, that's already considered trapped. It's already completed what you need to get it. But regarding a bird, if you get it just into a house and then you close the door in front of it, then Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be potter, you're going to be exempt because it could get out through the windows. It's not considered completely trapped. Now, the same thing regarding a deer, that if let's say you get it in from the outside, that the deek of Rabbi Yehuda's words are, labayisu de mechayev. For a deer, you're only going to be liable if you get into a house, of a labivarin. But if you get it only into an enclosed area, and then you close the gates of this enclosed area, then why? Then that wouldn't be considered tzedah, that wouldn't be considered trapping, because even though it's in Beivarin, it's not completely trapped, because although you have it on this huge area that you have closed in, some type of a zoo, but it's not considered trapped because you can't really get them. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is like our Braisa, which says that yes, even though they're in Beivarin, enclosed areas, just like one wouldn't be chayef for doing that on Shabbos, hence, even on Yom Tov, you're coming into this enclosed area, that's not considered, that was already trapped. And if you were to take from it on Yom Tov and catch it, that would be considered the tzedah, because being in the Mevarin is not enough. It would have to be in a house for a wild animal. And for a bird, you actually would even have to get it into a migdal, into a closet or something. It wouldn't be enough getting it in just to a house. The Chachamim, however, the Chacham say, Tzipor le migdal, says, right, we agree to you regarding a bird, that it's tzedah, to consider it completely trapped for a bird, it has to be that only until you get into a closet. Getting into a house wouldn't be enough. However, utzvi, regarding a deer, there you don't have to have up until you get into a house like you wanted to say, but rather even legina, lechatzor, lebivar, and there it's enough to get into a garden, into a yard, into these enclosed areas, and that also would be considered tzedah. Now, therefore, our Mishnah also that said that one could go ahead and trap the wild animals from the Beivarin, from these enclosed areas in Yom Tov, that's like the Rabbanan, that they say that once you get it into a Beivar, into a closed area, that is considered, that it's already considered trapped. And therefore, our Mishnah, which is the both related. In other words, if you're going to be violating it getting into there, that means it's already trapped. So therefore, on Yom Tov, you could take it from there because you're not trapping it. It was already trapped from before Yom Tov. Whereas the Braisa would be going like a Yehuda. So that we understand is not a contradiction. They're two different opinions. But on that, the Gemara asks, Ela oifas oifas kasha, but we're still stuck with the question regarding the birds. Because everybody agrees, even the Chachamim, that a bird's tzeda is only, it's not even enough even if it gets into a house. It's only going to be if it gets into a migdal, into a tower, into a closet. Now, so how do we understand the case of our Mishnah, where it says that one could take the oifas from Bivarin, from a closed areas, forget about a house, which that's even more of a trapping. How could we say that it's going to be that you could take it on Yom Tov from the Bevarin if even a house is not enough? You have to have it up into a Migdal. And if it's not in a Migdal, it's not considered trapped. So how could you take it from that on Yom Tov if one cannot do the Malach of Tzeda on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, well, if you're going to say that it's not a Hanami Loi Kasha, no, it's not a contradiction. The understanding of our Mishnah's case of why is it not considered Tzeda from taking the Eifus from the Bevarin, as the Braisa says. And that is because, our Mishnah is talking about Beveva Makura. It's talking about an enclosure that has a roof. Ha, Beveva Sha'ina Makura. But the Braisa told about that it has no roof. So even a bird, even if it's in a large enclosed area, but if there's a roof, so there's only so much where it could go, it's already considered trapped. The Braisa is talking about that there's no roof. So putting in the Beaver, up until you get into a tower, into a closet, it's not going to consider trap because you get out through the windows if it's in the house. And for sure, if it's in the Beaver, in the closed area, it could just fly up. Now, that the Gemara asks, but the truth is, a house, the Kebeva Mekorodami, a house is no worse than an enclosed area that has a roof. That's what a house is. It's a closed area that has a roof. Now, both according to Behuda and Rabbanon, Tzipa L'Migdal In, they both agree that you can only consider a tzipa, a bird considered trapped, up until you get into a closet. L'Bayis L'Ein, it's not even enough in a house, which is an enclosed area with a roof, because it still can find a way out, and therefore the same thing for sure would apply to Beva Makura, where it's an enclosed area and has a roof, but it's larger and definitely more room for escape for the bird. And if they hold that it only is enough for a migdal, for sure not a baver, because even the house is not enough. So therefore, again, how do we understand the case of our Mishnah that nobody would agree to what seems to be the halach of our Mishnah, that even if it's a baver makura, that should be considered that it's already trapped, and therefore how can you go ahead and take the birds from this baver on Yom Tov? So that Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, he answers, says, Hacha, over here in the Braisa, that we said regarding Shabbos, that both the Chachamim and Yehuda agree that a tzipa is only considered trapped if you get into a migdal, into a closet, and not into a house, which therefore that we have the challenges to our Mishnah. How could we take the bird from the baver if it's not considered trapped and you're trapping it now in Yom Tov, which you're not allowed to do? That's not a contradiction. Actually, the Braisa is talking about b'tzipa drereskin, talking about a specific type of a bird which dwells in a house as it would in an open field. She'ena mekabel maris, which it doesn't accept any authority, any mastery from anyone else upon it. The time of the Beir Shmuel, like it was taught in the Yeshiva Beir Shmuel, that he explained, Lama nikra shma tzipa dror. Why is this bird called the tzipa, which is a bird of dror? What is the word dror? Shedara bebayis kibasada, because it dwells in a house as it would be in an open field. In other words, it knows how to escape and get to the corner of the house, and you can't catch it. And that's where the word dror comes from the term dira. It dwells wherever it is. It dwells. It's not stuck wherever you think it is. And therefore, that's the reason why such a bird is only going to be considered trapped up until a migdal. And that is, we could say that really they agreed to the halach of our Mishnah. A bird in a beva makura, in an enclosure, could be considered trapped even in such a large area. And that's why in Yom Tov you could take it. Now, although it seems like from the Braisa that even the Chacham agreed that it's not considered trapped up until it's in the Migdal, that's a different type of a bird. This is a very challenging bird, which it flies around no matter where it is. So that type of a bird would only be considered trapped up until it's in the Migdal. But a regular bird, that would be considered trapped even in the Bever, as it says in our Mishnah. That's one approach. But now the Gemara continues and says that Hashad Aslahachi, once we came to this, and that is, we couldn't answer the same thing we said for the contradiction of the Braisa and the Mishnah regarding the wild animals, to say that's machlokes, to say the same thing regarding oifas ha'oifas, because there it seemed like every opinion was saying, not like our Mishnah. So therefore the Gemara had resolved that the reason why it's not a contradiction with the birds is that we're explaining it depends on what type of bird we're talking about, and qualifying the case conceptualization, that's how we resolve the contradiction, that is, there is tomat tzipa dror, and our Mishnah is tomat regular oifas. Now on that, the Gemara says, we don't have to now contrive either, as we had answered before regarding the Chayis either, to say that it's a Machlokes Tanoim. Actually, chaya chaya nami lekasha. So now we could give a different resolution for the contradiction of the wild animals, similar to as we gave for the ifis, and we don't have to say it's machlokes tanoim. Actually, we could say it's both like drabbanim. And that is because our Mishnah is talking about the beaver cotton. It's talking about a small enclosure, which essentially is the same as the Rabban had said in Masech de Shabbos. Whereas the Bryce is talking about that says that ain't tzad, then you cannot capture it on Yom Tov from the beaver, which means to say that it's not considered trapped. It's talking about the beaver god, let's talk about by a large enclosure, which it has room to go ahead and escape and run away from. That's similar to what we said regarding the Tzipor Dror, and that's why it's not going to be considered trapped already in the beaver. So it really depends on what type of beaver we're talking about. There is not a contradiction, both like Drabbanan, our Mishnah, and their Masech Shabbos that hold that it's considered trapped already in the Gina, in the Chatzar, and the beaver is told about where it's a smaller one. Whereas there in the Bryce says you cannot trap it, you cannot take it from it on Yom Tov. It's not a large one. The large one, it could go ahead and run around. There is not considered trapped, and there is not a contradiction. Rashi just clarifies that although Reb Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah seems to be saying that same point, so what is he arguing on the Mishnah? Because it seems to be saying that it has to be a small enclosure. He says that actually he's even arguing on a small enclosure, and he would hold it's not trapped if you have to say, Hove Mitzuda, let's go bring something to go ahead and trap it, even though it's small. Or, actually, Rashi says, he's not coming to argue, and he's just coming to explain what the Tanakhama is saying. As the Gemara will later on explain, he's essentially saying the same thing, that it has to be a small enclosure. It depends on what size is the enclosure, if it's going to be considered trapped or not. But now the Gemara asks to clarify this halacha that we just answered now, that we don't have to say that the chaya chaya is a contradiction and our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan and the Brayos like Rabbi Yehuda, but it actually depends on how big the enclosure is. So that the Gemara asks, Heichidami Beaver Katan, Heichidami Beaver Gadol, what is considered a small enclosure that our Mishnah is saying it's already considered trapped and therefore you could take from it on Yom Tov, whereas the Brayos says, talking about a large one, is not considered trapped. So on that the Gemara gives three different interpretations. Amar Vashti, he says, Kol Heichid Deroid Abasra, wherever that you're running after the animal, umati lo b'chad shikha, and you catch it in one lunge, in one jump, and that is a one time, it can't get away from you, that's considered a beaver cotton. That's a small enclosure, that's considered trapped already, and that you could take from it on Yom Tov. V'idach, whereas the other ones that it takes more than one jump, is beaver gadol, that's talking about a large one, and that you cannot trap it on Yom Tov, because that would be considered tzedah, which is forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. Inami, a second approach is, kol heicha de'ika ukti ukti, wherever there's corners in this enclosure where it could get away from, that's a beaver gadol. That's considered a large enclosure, and therefore it's not considered trapped. It's not readily accessible. Vidach, and the other ones are beaver cotton, that's considered small ones. If there's no corners, and then it's right there, you go ahead and catch it. Inami, a third approach is, kol heicha denafli tula dekasli adadi, wherever that you have, that the shade of one wall is then on the other wall because of how narrow it is and how small it is, that's a beaver cotton, that's a small enclosure. V'idach, and the other ones, if the shade of one wall is not going ahead and shadowing on the other wall, that's beaver gadol, that's already a large enclosure, and therefore, again, that would be considered as not trapped yet, hence that would be forbidden to go ahead and catch that on Yom Tov, and that's what would be the case of the Braisa, whereas our Mishnah was talking about a beaver cotton. Now, as we just mentioned before, that Mshim Lil, he says in regards to what the Tanakhama said, that one cannot go ahead and trap fish, but one could go ahead and take the wild animals and the birds from the Bevarin. On Yom Tov, he says, look, Loi Kala Bevarin Shavin. You can't just say a general statement. Not all enclosures are the same. Now, on that, Rabbi Yisav, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmol, says, Halacha is like Mshim Lil, that it depends on what size is the enclosure or not. If it's something that's lacking tzedah, then it's forbidden. If it's not lacking, then it's going to be permitted. Now, on that, Omele Abaya says to him, to Rabbi Yosef, Halacha Mechalal Depligi. When you're saying Halacha Zagib Shem Gamliel, you're obviously saying that in our Mishnah, he was arguing under Rabbanan, which means to say the Rabbanan want to say that all Bevarin are the same. But we just explained in the Gemara before that the case of our Mishnah is only talking about why could you take it from the Bevar and Yom Tov, because it's a small Bevar, so it's considered trapped already before, which means to say, but of a large one, it wouldn't be. So what are you saying? Halachas like Mshingam Leel? That sounds like that he's arguing under Rabbanan, but we just explained that obviously he's saying the same halacha, and that Mshingam Leel is just coming to explain the Rabbanan. So that Amalais, Rabbi Yisrael responded to Abaya, so then, what difference does it make to you? What are you asking then on me? If I'm saying halacha, then most definitely, because if they're not arguing, so then for sure the halacha. In other words, what are you asking? I said halacha is like Mshim Gamliel. Depends on the size of the beaver. You're asking, that means sounds like he's arguing on the Rabbanan. But how could you say he's arguing? So fine, so they're not arguing. So then for sure that's the halacha. So what are you asking on the question? So then I'm a lace. Abai responds to Rabbi Yosef, wait a second. Gemara, I should just learn the teaching, Zmartate, it should be like a song to me. And it's a type of like a metaphor that for people that are imbecilic, and that you tell a shaita that's a student, you tell them, look, learn what I'm telling you, whether it's true, whether it's mistaken, just sing the song, just say what I'm saying. And that's what Abai is saying. He says, I understand the halacha will be the same, but I want to know what is the mechanics of this discussion in our Mishnah. Are they arguing, are they not? And therefore, it's not just a song that I sing. I want to know the understanding, the underpinnings of what's the discussion, if it's a machlekes, or they agree. And that's why I asked you, when you say halacha, like I'm showing them leil, that it sounds like you're making it sound that they argue, and in truth, they don't argue, because as we explained in the Gemara before, that it would depend on the Beber Katan or Beber Gadol, the way Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, and therefore they're not arguing. Whereas, as we explained before from Rashi, it could be that Rabbi Yisrael would hold that they actually are arguing, and that if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would hold, even by Beber Katan, if you say Havali Mitsuda, you still need some way of mechanics of getting it, that it would be still considered, that it would be forbidden of the Malacha of Tzedah. Now, in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's statement, he said, Zehaklal, we quote from the Mishnah, that this is the general rule. Whatever's lacking trapping, no matter on the size of the beaver, then it's forbidden. But if it's not lacking, then it's going to be permitted because it's already considered trapped from before Yom Tov. Now that the Gemara asks, what is this case of that it would still be lacking? What would be the technical components of that it's lacking tzeidah that it would be forbidden according to Shimon Gamliel to take it on Yom Tov? So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel says, "Kol sha'imer havi mitzuda unsudeno." That wherever somebody says, he says, "Okay, guys, bring the traps that we could capture it." In other words, he needs to use certain tools to get it. So that would be the measurement of what would be considered a beaver gadol, a large enclosure, which would be forbidden to take on Yom Tov, and the other ones would be a beaver katan. Now Rav Ashi gave his definition of that. In one type of a measurement, Rav Yosef is giving a different measurement. In other words, what would be considered a large or a small, where he's defining it in the way of if you need to use some type of tool to catch it, that's already considered it's beaver gadol, and that you wouldn't be able to capture on Yom Tov. If you don't need anything, you could just go ahead and get it. That would be considered beaver cut, and that would be permitted. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, "Amalei Abaya." Abaya said to Rav Yosef, "But v'ha'avazim b'tarn legolim, but we have geese and we have chickens." Where people do need to say, bring me some type of a trap so I can get the chicken so we could go ahead and make it for the Yom Tov meal. V'tanya, and yet we learned the b'raisa, hatsada v'azam v'tan l'goylin, if someone traps the geese and the chicken, v'yoni hardisoyis, now these are doves either because their name is from their location, or it's called on the name of Hurdis, who he would grow them, he would have them in his house, King Herod, and therefore it was called Yoni Hardisois. But either way, regarding these three types, we said that if someone traps them on Yom Tov, his pottery is exempt. Now, that contradicts what Rav Yosef had just said. He said, and we know the halacha is like Shem Gamliel, where if someone has to say, bring some type of a trap that we can get these types of birds, that's going to be considered a beaver gadol and forbidden to be done in Yom Tov. Yet that same idea applies to Avazantar Negel and Yoni Hardisois, and yet still we say that one is exempt if he traps them on Yom Tov, where he just said that's considered tzedah on Yom Tov. So Amar Rabba Rav Huna Amar Shmuel, he says that there's a difference. Halalu, the Avazin and the Tan the Golan, Boin Lechluvan, they come to their basket where they roost, where they nest at night, Le'erev at nighttime. Now, since the Avazin and the Golan come to their nest at nighttime, so it's easier to catch them over there. Therefore, we qualify them as things that are already considered trapped, and therefore you can even trap them even when they're not in their clove, even when they're outside of where they nest. Bahalalu, however, with the other types of birds, which is what Rabbi Yosef is explaining in the halacha of Shemigam Leel, ain boin lechluv on la'arav, they don't come to their nest at the nighttime, and therefore if you need to say havei mitzudu in sedana, that you need to use something to get them, which is what you need to do, that would be considered like a beaver gadol, would be something that's not yet trapped. And hence, it would be considered trapping them on Yom Tov, even though for the birds, for the chickens, and for the Yoni Hardisois, which you also need to use something to get them. But since they're accessible, at least in the evening time, so they're still on some level considered trapped, because there you can get them easily. So even when they're outside, it's not considered a violation of the halacha of Tzedah. But on that, the Gemara asked further, Bahare Yoni Shevech, but the doves from the dovecots, the Yoni Aliyah, and the doves that are on the roofs, where these are the wild types of doves and they fly all around and outside, where they do come to their nests in the evening time. Yet, v'tanya, still we learn the b'raisa, hatsad yoni shuv v'chbiyoni aliyah. If someone catches, traps these types of doves on yamtiv, or v'tzipar m'shikinu b'tfichin, all these types of birds where they nest in these types of jugs, which people put on their walls, the b'rais in these mansions, or in these towers, where they put these jugs where the wild birds can go ahead and nest, that chayiv, that a person would be liable for trapping them. But why? You just qualified. Even if it's something that you need to use to trap them, but if they come to their nest in the evening time, which is how you explain for the Avazna and the Tanna Kailin, that since that there it's very easy to catch them, so even outside, even though you have to use something to get them, it wouldn't be considered a violation of Tzedek because they're really considered trapped, since in the evening time you could get them easily. But yet, the Yene Shevich and the Yene Eliyah do come back to their klav in that night. I mean, yet still we say that you are chayiv for trapping them. So, Elo Amar Rabbi Rav Huna Amar Shmuel, rather he says a different qualification. He says, Halalu, the Avazna and Tanna Geulin, the reason why over there you're going to be potter is because two criteria. Boin lechluvin le'erv, you're right, they come to their nest in the evening, and umezaynais nalecha. Also, it's incumbent upon you to feed them. That's why they're like a behemoth, and therefore they're considered mezumin, they're considered prepared already, they're not considered that it's that you're going to be violating tzedah to catch them as if they're not ready and accessible. V'halalu, however, the case of Rav Yosef that he was explaining of Shem Gamliel, and that's the same thing for the Yoni Hardisais, Boin Lechluvan, that's the same for the Yoni Shevich and the Yoni Aliyah, Boin Lechluvan Le'erev, Ve'emazaynis Nalecha. You're right, they come to their nest in the evening time, but it's not incumbent upon you to feed them. So that's the difference where, although you're right, the criteria is if you need to say to use something to catch them, then it's not considered trap. Although we asked, but what's going to be with the case of the Avaz and the Tanagirlin where you need to use something to catch them? And then we said, wait, because they come back at nighttime, so it's already considered somewhat trapped. You're not trapping them even when they're outside. Then we asked, but what do you do with the Yoni Shevich and Aliyah, where they also come back at nighttime? And then we said, but there's another criteria which that it's not considered tzedem, is if you have to feed them. So you have to feed them, it's considered something that's yours, it's more prepared, it's not considered that you're trapping it from something outside of yours. And that's why that would be the case of the Avaz and Tanna Geulin, why it's not considered Seder. But although the Yoni Shevich and Yoni Aliyah have that they come back at nighttime, but since it's not Mezaynis Nalecha, it's not the same as a behemoth that's yours, and therefore it would be considered a violation of trapping in Yom Tov. Another approach, Rav Mari Amar, he says, Hani, regarding these Yoni Shevich, that although you're right that they come back at nighttime to the Klaven, they're still different than the Avaz and Tanna Geulin who come back at nighttime to their nest. Because avidi l'rebuye, that the Yoni Shevich, they escape, they run away from people trying to catch them. So even though they're in the nest, it's still not seder because you can't catch them easily. V'hani, however, these geese and these chickens, lo yavidi l'rebuye, they don't run away, and therefore since they come back, so then they're done already. And they're there, you can get them easily, and therefore even though when they're not in there, they're still considered unqualified as things that are already trapped already from before Yom Tov, and that's where you can take them. But that the Gemara asks, is that so? But kulinami avid l'rebuye, it's not true. All types of fowl, they all run away when the person tries catching them to take them and slaughter them and eat them for the Yom Tov meal. So how are we saying that that's the difference between the Yoni Shevich and the Yoni Aliyah on the one hand and the Avaz and Tanagel on the other hand? But the Gemara says, no, there's a difference in l'chluvin kamrinan David l'rebuye. The difference is that they fly till their nest. Now, over there, you have to go after them. But the difference is that the Yoni Shevich v'Yoni Aliyah is that even over there, they run away and escape from the person. That's the difference between Avaz and Tanna Geulin. Once they're there, then you got them. And that's why it's going to be mutter by the Avaz and Tanna Geulin, whereas by the Yoni Shevich v'Yoni Aliyah, that even over there, they're running away from the person that's hard to catch it. Therefore, there, it's not going to be considered nitzad v'yoymid. It's going to be considered as if you're trapping it on Yamtu, and that's why it's forbidden, and you're chayiv if you do. Whereas by the Avaz and Tanna Geulin, even though, again, that you need to, say, bring something to catch it, which is when it's outside, but since it comes back at nighttime to its place where it nests, where there it's easily caught, therefore it's already qualified as something that's already needs to be aimed, and therefore one would be exempt if one were to capture it, to trap it on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the first Mishnah of this parak, talking about the Malach of Tzedav trapping Yom Tov. However, our Mishnah talks about a different type of a case. Mitzudis chai v'oif v'dagim, regarding a trap of wild animals, birds, and fish, Shasod me'erv Yom Tov, which was already made from before Yom Tov. You had the traps already set up. Now, on that, the Mishnah tells us, Lo yitil mehem b'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to take from these traps on Yom Tov if you find that fish or the wild animal or the bird there. Elim ken yedesh nitzayid me'erv Yom Tov. Only if you know that it was caught from before Yom Tov. Whereas if you don't know, then it could be it was called on Yom Tov. And again, the Malach of Tzedek is forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. Now, Maisa ben Achri Echad Shevi Dagam L'Rav Gamliel. There was actually an incident where there was a non-Jew who brought fish to Rav Gamliel. He said, actually, the fish are permitted for me, which the Gemara is going to ask. That seems to contradict what the Mishnah is starting off. The Mishnah is saying, when you're not sure that it was from before Yom Tov, it's going to be forbidden. And here he has, where the fish was brought to him, where very likely the non-Jew had caught it today on Yom Tov, and yet he said it's permitted. But the Gemara will address that. So he says, really, it's permitted. But you know what? I just don't want to accept the gift from him because I hate him. But it really is permitted. It's just that I don't want to take from this non-Jew. Now, that the Gemara asks right away. My solicitor, you bring a story to contradict? In other words, is that the way how people talk? That you bring a halacha and then you bring a story afterwards that contradicts what you just started saying? So the Gemara answers that chisuri mechsuri. There's actually words missing, and this is what the Mishnah means to say. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is that this, that we open up the Mishnah in saying that you're not allowed to take from something that's a suffix, which is suffix muchen, something that there's a doubt if it was prepared from before Yom Tov, or if it's going to be muktza. Such a thing, we said, is going to be usher, it's forbidden, because maybe it was trapped on Yom Tov. And that is what the Mishnah is saying, that not everyone agrees to. But actually, it's a machlekes, and that is, v'regum li'il matr, these are the words that are missing, which are supposed to say, and Muli actually argues on the Tanna Kamma, and he holds that it's permitted. U'maisanami, and that's what the Mishnah brings, is actually a story, b'nachri echet she'ividogum regum li'il, where there was a non-Jew that brought fish from li'il, v'amar, and he said, mutarne, and they're actually permitted, El Shein returned the covenant, but I just don't want to receive from him. So now we understand what the Mishnah means to say. It's actually machlaikis. If we're going to assume what is the status of this fish, was it trapped from before Yom Tov, hence it's prepared, and therefore it's mutter, or do we say that it was trapped today on Yom Tov, where it means that it wasn't prepared from before Yom Tov, so hence it has halachic status of mukta because it wasn't designated from before Yom Tov. Although even if a non-Jew is doing it, I didn't do the malach of tzeda. However, since it wasn't prepared from before Yom Tov, and you cannot do tzeda on Yom Tov, so therefore that would be forbidden. That's the machlokes between Lil and the Rabbanan. In our Mishnah, what is the halachic status of this fish where we're not sure what actually happened? So that I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. He says, in halacha Gamliel, halacha does not follow Gamliel. Where when we have this suffix, this doubt, we're not sure whether these traps or whether it got to the non-Jew, where I didn't do the malach of tzeda, but it's not clear, was it done today or from before Yom Tov? Was it prepared or was it not? Again, if one could do tzeda, there's no problem because you could do it on Yom Tov. But since you cannot do, so therefore it has to be already trapped from before Yom Tov, and we don't know, so it's a doubt if it was prepared or not, and that he says, halacha is not like Gamliel. And therefore, since it's a suffix muktza, we say it's going to be forbidden to have pleasure from these fish, that whether they were caught by a non-Jew or by the traps he had laid out, if you find it on Yom Tov. Now, the Ikkad Masnla, those that learn that this statement of Shmuel, where he said that suffix muchen, when you have a doubt if it's prepared or not, that it's going to be usher, they learn it aha. They learn it on the following brisa. In other words, the first version that had it on our Mishnah, where he said that in halacha krim liel, halacha does not follow krim liel, where you couldn't say, as this next version is going to say, halacha krim Yeshua, because our Mishnah doesn't mention Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. So rather it was said in the version of in halacha krim liel. But now the Gemara brings a second version where it's learned on the Tanya, on the following brisa. Safik muchin, when you have something that it's a doubt if it was prepared, in other words, was it trapped from before Yom Tov or not, Rabbi Gamliel mater, Rabbi Yeshua Iser, Rabbi Gamliel says it's permitted, Rabbi Yeshua says it's forbidden. On that, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, halacha Rabbi Yeshua, halacha falls like Rabbi Yeshua. Again, the same idea, just in a different context. The halacha is that when there's a suffix, there's a doubt if it was prepared or not, was it trapped or not, it's going to be usher, and because it might be muktza. V'ikid amasin la ahad etanya. Those who learn a third version, on the following brayse again, where Rabbi Yehuda will say in halacha, name of Shmuel, that suffix muchen is usher. But now it's learned on the following brayse. We continue on to Amud Beis. The brayse says, Sheikhetin min ha-negarin b'yamtim. A person could slaughter animals from negarin. Now, what negarin is a reference to, it's a reference to these bivarin, to these enclosed areas where they put the wild animals, because it's already considered trapped from before yamtim. Now, the reason why it's called negarin is because since they make these irrigation canals, which is what the word nigri mayim are, these ditches, that the wild animals could drink water from them, that's what's called negarin. But it's a reference to these bivarin. So one could slaughter the wild animals from these enclosed areas on yamtim. But not from nets and not from traps. And that is, if someone finds a wild animal in one of his nets and one of his traps, where you're not sure, was it trapped today? Was it trapped yesterday? And that, the Tanna Kamma says, is going to be forbidden. He says the same halacha, but he says a little bit different. He says, If somebody comes to the place where he had his nets spread out, where, as Rashi says, they would go for a length of a mil or a half a mil. Now, when a wild animal falls on one end, he says that it pulls something, which the whole net gets ruined, and therefore it pulls something on the other end of where the nets are, which is a sign that, oh, that means something was caught, there was a wild animal caught on the other side. So if someone realizes that an animal is caught, so he comes, u'matzan mekukolim erev yamtiv. If he comes and he finds that the nets are ruined from before yamtiv, so biyadua shemei erev yamtiv nitzadim mitum. So it's obvious that even though he didn't see the animal, but he knows that obviously that from before yamtiv, the animal was trapped because he saw that something was messed up. I mean, something fell in already. So therefore, umataran is going to be permitted to use that animal on yamtiv because it was already prepared. It didn't happen on yamtiv. It's not mukta. It was prepared from before. It was already trapped. There's no malach of tzeidah being done on yamtiv. So permitted to have those animals on yamtiv. However, bo mitzan mekukolim beyamtiv. But if, let's say, somebody comes and he finds nets ruined on yamtiv, now, which Rashi explains must mean to say that it definitely happened on yamtiv. In other words, if somebody checked that right before it got dark in erev yamtiv, he saw nothing was caught because he sees the nets are still perfect, which means to say that it only got ruined now on yamtiv. So biyadua shebe yamtiv nitzaydu. So it's obvious that it was trapped on yamtiv, and therefore vasurin, and therefore the animal is going to be forbidden because that means it was not prepared, and therefore it's mukta because that means it only got trapped on yamtiv. Now, therefore, the Gemara asks that haguf akasha. It seems to be an internal contradiction in the brayis itself. Because Amrit, first you said, Bo mitzah and mekukol me'erev yamtiv. First you, Reb Shimon Laza, said that if you come and you find that the nets are ruined from before yamtiv, so b'yiduish me'erev yamtiv nitzaydeh, so you know for sure that it was trapped from before yamtiv, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Now, the inference is, the time of the Bo mitzah mekukol, because you came and you saw, you're checking before yamtiv, you wanted some food, some special animal on yamtiv, and you check the nets before you get shkia time, and you find that it's ruined. So that sounds like only then is it going to be permitted. But if you're not sure, let's say you didn't check, so you don't know if it was ruined from before yamtiv or not, then it would be forbidden. It's only when you know for sure. But Amos Eifel, look at the end of his statement. He says, Bo mitzal mekukolim beyamtiv. You come and you find that it got ruined on yamtiv. So biyaduah shebe yamtiv nitzaydu. So then you know for a fact that it was trapped on yamtiv. And as we explained before, what that means is that obviously right before it got dark, shkia time, sundown, you went to check and the nets weren't ruined. Next morning you wake up, you go ahead and you check and you see the nets are ruined. So you go ahead and you see the wild animal over there. So we said that, oh, so that's most definitely they got it trapped on yamtiv, and therefore it's usur. So the inference on that part is the time of the bo mitzal mekukol, and the reason is because since you come on yamtiv and you find that it was ruined, which means say that you knew it didn't happen from before yamtiv, but hasveka, but if let's say it's a doubt, which means say you didn't check before shki, you don't know if it happened before yamtiv or not, me'erev yamtiv nitzaydu mutar, and then we say that no, it was probably trapped from before yamtiv, and therefore it's permitted. So how do we understand the contradictory inferences of the Reish and the Seifa? If we say which one has to be definite, and hence that the doubt will be that halacha of the opposite, do we say that it has to be for sure that it was from before, and therefore the doubt is going to be asr? Or do we say that no, it has to be for sure that happened on yamtiv, and then it's asr, but doubtfully it'll be mutter? How do we understand Reb Shimon Laza's statement? So that the Gemara says hachkam. Now, this is what Reb Shimon Laza is saying. He's actually saying one long statement. And that is, bo mitzah mekukol me'erev yamtiv. If you come and you find that the nets are ruined from before yamtiv, so biyaduah me'erev yamtiv nitzaydeh mutar, so you know for a fact that it was trapped from before yamtiv, and therefore it's permitted, because you see the nets are ruined. That means something is stuck inside on the other end where you can't go now. It's almost yamtiv. You have to go to shul. But you know it was already caught. Hasveka, but the inference is, but if there's a doubt, and that is, if let's say there's reason to suspect to say that it was trapped on yamtiv, what does that mean? When is there a doubt? For example, if you didn't come yesterday before yamtiv to check if it was ruined or not, so then you say, and this is the end of what a statement is a continuation from the first, which is in the inference of sveka, then nasa kemishan nitzaydeh beyamtiv asur, and then that is as if it was trapped on yamtiv, and therefore it's going to be asur, because in other words, what he is basically saying is that safik mukhan, when there's a doubt, when you don't know if it was prepared or not, then it's going to be asur. Now, on that Amrav Yehuda Mashmul, which is the third version of what he's trying to say, that Safik Mukhin is Asr, is Halacha Gibshim Allah, Halacha falls like him again that he says Safik Mukhin is Asr. But what he is saying is, although the Tanakama in this version of this third version of the Braisa also agreed that if there is this doubt, it's going to be Asr, what he's adding on by saying like Gibshim Allah is, however, if you came and you found the nets ruined from before yamtiv, even though you didn't see the animal inside, and that you could rely that it was already trapped from before yamtiv, that's not even considered safek muchen, that would be considered vade muchen, that would be mutter. But again, however, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel has three different versions, either our Mishnah, or a different Braisa, or this Braisa, where essentially he's saying the same halacha, that Safek Muchen is going to be Asif. You're not sure if it was prepared or not, was the Malacha Tzedah done in Yamtiv or not, it's going to be forbidden. Now, the Mishnah said that there was a story where someone brought fish to Gamliel, and Gamliel said, V'amar, he said, Mutarnim, they're actually permitted, whereas we explained before, because Gamliel argues and he says, Safek Muchen is Mutar. If there's a doubt, we don't say that it's Mukta, we say that you could go ahead and enjoy the fish. And therefore, Gamliel says, permitted. Now, in that, the Gemara asked, to understand Gamliel's opinion, Mutarn Lamai, when Gamliel, who he holds that Safek Muchen is not Asr, he says it's Mutar. But what is it permitted for? So we have Machlekes. Rav Amar, he says, Mutarn Likabel. It's permitted to receive it. What that means is that you can move around this fish that you got from the non-Jew or that you found in the trap where you're not sure that it happened on Yom Tov or not. Now, because what that means is there are mul holds that were not so stringent by Safek Muchen to say that you can't even move it as Mukta. But regarding consumption, which has more stringent mukta halachas, that Rabbi Gamliel did not actually permit. That he would actually agree that that would be usher because of Safek Muchen. The Levi Amar, Levi says, no, mutarn b'achila. Rabbi Gamliel says, not only could you move it, you could even eat it. Now, as Rashi says, it's not that Rav and Levi held like Rabbi Gamliel, they were just coming to explain his opinion, but Levi was explaining that Rabbi Gamliel would hold actually a Safek Muchen is mutter, not only to move it, but it's even mutter regards totally, there's no problem about the halachas of mukta, even to eat it. Now, in that Amar Rav says regarding his machlekes with Levi in defining Gamliel's opinion, he said the following statement. He says, "La'olam al yimna adam atzmei mebeis hamedrash." A person should never hold himself back from coming to the base medrash to study the Talmud, afilu sha'achas, even one moment. Now he says, I'll tell you why. Because sometimes you feel, okay, I learned, I know what I have to know. But he says, "Danov Levi havinan kamei de Rebbe." Me and Levi, we were both in front of Rebbe, ki amal hashmaitza, when he said this statement. That is, Ba'urta Amar Mutarn Machilam. In the evening, when he was saying over this Mishnah, so he said this Machlekes, and Lil said that it's Mutar, this Safik, this doubt, whether it was trapped in Yom Tov or not. So in the evening, when he defined Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, he says it's permitted to even eat it. Now, B'tzafra Amar, but in the morning he went and he retracted, and he says, oh no, Mutarn Lekabel. Actually, the correct interpretation of Gamliel is that it's only permitted to accept it, to receive it, to move it around, but not to eat it. Now, anod havi be midrasha, me who I did not stop learning. Not only was I in the base medrash in the evening, I was in the base medrash in the morning, so I heard Rebbe's new interpretation, so hadri be. So I retracted that and I said, oh, that's not anymore that he's so lenient that you could even eat it. It's only that you could move it around. Levi de lahavi be midrasha loy hadri be. Levi, who was not in the base medrash in the morning, he only heard what he had said in the evening, he didn't retract, and that's where we have this machlekes, but that's what a person should always be in the base medrash, because then he'll hear all the different hisafas, all the different additions to the halacha, which I heard that in the halachas only that you can move it and not to eat it. Now, that the Gemara asks Meisve, Gemara asks from a Braisa on Levi's definition in Gamliel's opinion that you could even eat it. We learn now Braisa, Nachri Shehevi Darin Lisrael, a non-Jew who brings a gift to a Jewish person. Now, Afila Dagam Hamufulamim, even if it's moist fish, Uperis Mnei Yemen, or fruits that were taken off from where it was attached today, on Yom Tov, Mutarn, they're going to be permitted. Now, as Rashi explains, obviously we're going like Gamliel, who he says it's Mutar, because according to the other opinions, for sure it's going to be Asaf, even Safek Muchen, that maybe it happened that it was trapped today or that it was taken off the fruits today, it's going to be Asaf, for sure, when it was definitely taken off today. But now the Gemara asks on Levi, and that is, Bishlema Laman Dama Mutarn LeKabel. We could understand, according to Rav's interpretation of Gamliel, who this is obviously who the Braisa is going like, where you're only allowed to move it around. So Shapu, we could understand the logic of this halacha, and that is, although this is not even a doubt, rather it's for sure mukta, because it was not prepared for before Yom Tov, it was trapped today, as we see it's moist fish, it was just taken out of the water, or the fruits were just plucked off the tree, but still you could say that Gamliel permitted to be moved, which is not as stringent as consumption. Now the Gemara actually will shortly ask in this and say, wait a second, fruits that are b'nei yom, that were taken off the tree today, are you allowed to move them around? They're totally muksa. And even Gamliel, who is lenient, it's only by safek muchen when there's a doubt, but by definitely when they weren't prepared, when they were taken off today, would we say he's lenient? But anyway, but the Gemara for now at least is saying that we would understand it on some level. But according to Levi, who he says, Gamliel says it's even permitted to eat, so these problems of muchen or not, he says not only could you move, you could even eat it, but peiris b'nei yoimin mishar b'achilo? Can you say that? If Gamliel's versions of these halachas are that you could even eat it. Would he hold that you could eat something that was mukta, that was just taken off the tree today, or a fish that was captured today? How could he say such a thing? And therefore it seems to contradict Levi's interpretation of Rav Gamliel, that when he says things are permitted, it's even permitted to eat it. But on that the Gemara says, wait, well, tamech, but even according to your opinion, Rav, Peretz b'nei yoyim and mishar b'tiltil, it still is difficult according to your opinion. How could you even move it around? They're also purely mukta. They weren't prepared from before Yom Tov. So how would you understand it? So therefore the Gemara says, Ella rather, and therefore what we have to say, which therefore wouldn't be difficult even according to Levi, we must be talking about bakavri da'adimi. We have to talk about red fish. Now what that means is that they didn't lose their moisture yet or their redness, which under their gills it's red, where they check to see if it's fresh or not, that it didn't lose that redness. Similarly, uperi dechvisha beyarka, we're talking about the produce that is hidden inside these green vegetables. That is, when they're plucked off the tree, they hide them inside the vegetables and these greens that it shouldn't lose its moisture, askinan, that's what we're talking about. Now, those things are definitely, yes, papir, they are muchen, and it's recognizable that they're from before Yom Tov. They weren't taken off today. They're from before Yom Tov, and therefore, according to everybody, it's not a difficulty. It would make sense, according to everyone, even Levi, that, yeah, of course you could eat it. It's not muktzah. Now, by my kar lohu b'nei yamin, so then why are we calling it b'nei yamin, which we were wondering? Today, taken off the tree, who would hold that it's mutter to eat it and even to move it? Now, that's only shehein ke'ein b'nei yamin. It's just that they're like things that were plucked today or trapped today. Now, therefore, so what would the chiddush be if they're ready from yesterday? So why would it be usher to eat these things on Yom Tov? What would be the chiddush of whoever is saying this braisa? So that Rashi says the chiddush is that even though they're similar to B'nai Yaman, they look like they're from today, there's no concern about Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is a concern that something looks like there's a prohibition. What are you doing eating this thing? This is something that a fresh fish, and that means to say it was muktzah, so you can't touch it, for sure you can't eat it. And that is what the Tana of the Braisa is saying, that even though it's like it was from today, which it looks so fresh, but since we know it's recognizable as from before Yom Tov, we're not concerned about Maris Ayin of other people, and that's why it's going to be mutab. Again, it doesn't reflect anything regarding the machlik between Rav and Levi, because their machlik is only regarding that if it happened today, that is the question. If we have that doubt, Levi would hold that it's mutter even to eat, and Rav would hold it's only mutter to go ahead and move it around. Now, concluding this discussion, Amar Rav Papa, he says, Hilchasa, the halach is as follows. It says, Nachri Shehevi Darin Yisrael B'Yom Tov, if a non-Jew brings a gift to a Jewish person on Yom Tov. So he qualifies general criteria in halacha. He says, if this item that the non-Jews bring a gift to you today is the type of thing that has things that are still attached to their sources, let's say it's a type of a fruit that in this location, these fruits are attached to the tree still, then usher, it would be forbidden to go ahead and receive that gift from the non-Jew because of muktzah. Because we say that it was from, even on the tzad, that it's safik muchen, that according to that opinion, but we're assuming that it was attached to the tree. Now, and that is even according to Rabbi Shimon, who we hold in regards to halachas of muktzah, he would agree that this would be considered muktzah and forbidden, because he holds muktzah is very limited, the isser. But he holds it applies to what's called gregers and simukim, when one is drying out the grapes or the dates, where something that's attached to the tree essentially is the same as gregers and simukim. And that is from the fact that it wasn't plucked from before Yom Tov, so the person has already removed it from his thought process, and therefore there's no difference between if it's the Jews or the non-Jews. You're right, what does it apply to me having in mind the non-Jews' fruits? It doesn't make a difference. Something that's attached from before Shabbos and Yom Tov, these are things that I'm not thinking about. Just like Gregus and Simukim are totally separated, even according to Reb Shimon, would consider that they're muktzah, they're out of a person's mind of usage, therefore they're not considered muchen. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, this halacha of Rapap would apply that since this is something that have things that are attached to the tree, so we're assuming that it was taken off on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there was going to be forbidden of muktzah. And even more than that, even in the evening, once the Shabbos or Yom Tov is over, even in the evening is going to be asur. And the reason is, this is a issur rabbanan, that a person shouldn't have any pleasure from halachas Yom Tov. If we allow you that, let's say it takes a certain amount of time to pluck this fruit from this tree. It takes time, the process. Now, if we let you go ahead and the second after Yom Tov is over, you can eat it, so then you're still getting hana out of this isser that was done for the Jewish person by it being brought to him on Yom Tov, whatever malacha was involved in it, and therefore, since we don't want to happen, because then we might actually come to the violation of having it on Yom Tov, therefore we say that one cannot have any pleasure, and you have to actually even wait on Matzah Yom Tov, Matzah Shabbos, the amount of time it would take for that malacha to have been done. Now, however, if Papa says, V'im ein mo'is ha'min b'mechubber, but if, let's say, this thing that it's being brought to the person doesn't have any of these types of produce that are still attached to the trees, So then there's no problem of seeming any malacha being done for the person. There was no kaitzitz, it wasn't chopped off from the tree. So then it would depend. Teichat chum mutter, if it's being brought from within the halachic boundaries for Shabbos where things are allowed to be moved around in, then it's permitted because no isser was being done for the Jewish person. So there's no problem of muktza or of a malacha of kaitzitz or being brought from out of the tchum. So therefore no malacha was done. So you could go ahead and have anah. Again, but we said if it is isser, then not only could you not have anah now, but even after Yom Tov, the amount of time it takes for that, because we don't want the Jew to be having anah from isurim being done from him by the non-Jew, because then one might actually come to go ahead and have anah from it, might even come to tell the non-Jew to do it in the first place, which is isser of amir la'akum. There's many problems that we could run into that. Now, however, the Gemara continues at the top of Chafayim and Aleph, Chutz L'Tchum Asa. Our Rebbe says, if it was brought from out of the Shabbos boundaries, which are 2,000 Amis, then since there wasn't Isser being done for the Jewish person who was brought for, which is the Isser of Tchumen, so then it's going to be forbidden. However, Rebbe does say, V'haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, however, if it was brought for a certain Jew, which means this non-Jew has a relation with this Jew, and he's bringing him a gift on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So he said that if an Isser was done for it to be brought, can't have enough from it. Not even after Yom Tov, for the amount of time it takes, had it been done after Yom Tov. You have to wait that amount of time. Now, we said if it's in the Tchum, so nothing wrong was done, so then it's permitted. Out of the Tchum, again, an Isser of Tchum was done, it's forbidden. But if it was brought for this person, then it's Mutzal Yisrael Acha, then it's permitted for a different Jew. Now, the reason for that, Rashi explains, is although we would say, technically, let's say by an Isser de Raisa, where it was done for one Jew, it would be forbidden for all Jews. However, since here we're talking about a lesser type of Isser, that of Tchumen, which is only an Isser Drabbanan, so Drabbanan would not be so stringent, and therefore they said that although an Isser of Tchumen was done, but we're only going to say it's going to be forbidden for this Jew, but it's not going to be forbidden for all other types of Jews.